Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Andy Troy Show, where you can sample all the great things New York has to offer. For the next 60 minutes, I'll not only clue you into some great things to do around town, but we'll also chat with some interesting local personalities. Tonight's guests include retired NYPD detective Robert Masucci and sports psychologist Leah Lagos. But first, our shameless plugs. For those of you who haven't read my anti-aging book, Living Young, 32 Habits of Ageless People, there's no time like the present. It's never too late to stay young and get healthy. Also, if you're going to live a long time, you might as well enjoy it, so check out my DVD, The Bedroom Workout for Men, on how to improve men's sexual performance through exercise. Both are available on Amazon.com and my website, AndyTroy.com. Remember that if you bring my book to any of my events, I will be happy to autograph it for you. Speaking of which, our next event will be a luau this Friday night, April 30th from 6 to 11 p.m. at 230 5th, an awesome rooftop space at 230 5th Avenue near 26th Street. Those of you who have been there know that the view of Manhattan from the 20th floor is spectacular. It will be a great night, so come and join us. The details for this and all my monthly events are on my website, tastingnyc.com. My good friend and producer John Anello, a.k.a. Johnny Mandolin, has a CD called La Voce Mia. Order your copy today at johnnymandolin.com or call E. Rossi at 212-226-9254 and they'll hook you up. Remember to check out the Andy Troy Show's Facebook page. Just go to Facebook and punch in the Andy Troy Show and it'll come up and you can join us. Finally, sponsors, we want them. If you'd like to promote your goods or services to our vast listening audience, contact the station or me directly at andyftroy@aol.com. Okay, that's enough of that. We are now going to bring in our first guest, Robert Masucci, who has brought a friend with him. I believe his name is Anthony Mastandrea. Did I get that right?
You got it.
Get close to the microphone
there,
Anthony.
You got it. You got it.
Okay. So you guys, how did you two nice young kids meet?
Go ahead, Rob.
Well, we actually got into kindergarten and grammar school together, and after the eighth grade, we parted our ways. And 33 years later, the school decided to have a reunion, and we did some research on our classmates. It was 83 classmates that we investigated to locate for this reunion. Anthony happened to be the first one that I, or the first group that I contacted. And we started to get to know each other again, and he informed me that he was a retired NYPD sergeant, and I never ran into him on the police department, being a detective myself. We did come from two different worlds, from a very large department, and we became friends again, rekindled our friendship, being that we grew up together and actually lived in the same neighborhood community. We became close again, and we went into business together.
So, what neighborhood are you guys from?
Brooklyn!
I heard of that. What neighborhood? That's not a neighborhood. It's a borough.
Borough Park.
Borough Park. Really? Yeah. You don't look ascetic.
We're on the border. The border of Borough Park, Bay Ridge, Andy.
Okay, so I'm familiar with both neighborhoods. Quite familiar. I'm a Brooklyn guy myself, from Sheepshead Bay currently.
You've said babe. Good
but
place.
I grew up in Flatlands, right over by the Gemini Lounge. I'm sure you guys are familiar with the...
We heard of the Gemini.
Yes. I had nothing to do with that, by the way.
Yeah,
although
yeah.
I did actually play in there with a band once.
There's a few buddies out there still.
Yeah. Anyway, so Rob, how long were you a police officer?
20 years. 20 years I was a police officer, and I actually started my career in January of 1986. And I worked a brief stint down at Avenue A in Manhattan, Lower Manhattan. We call that neighborhood Alphabet City. At the time, it was labeled the drug capital of the world, and that's where I, began my illustrious 20-year career.
So you just did 20 and right out, huh?
20 and out. I did 20 and out. However, I think I've seen a lot in 20 years, and it was just time. You know, when they say you know when it's time to go, and I guess it was just the right time to go.
So, Anthony, how many years did you put in?
20, and I ditto Rob's comments to the T. 20 years, and it was enough
You guys had enough of us, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, I guess after my extensive criminal record and the problems that I had, I guess you've seen a lot of people like me, huh?
Yeah, we ran into you a few times, as a matter of fact.
Did you? Really?
Yeah. That wasn't me. Your picture is in the post office.
Right. So, okay, what was the most unusual case you ever worked on, Rob?
Well, you just have to understand a little bit of the background of the unit I actually worked in the city of New York. I worked in the police emergency squad. I don't know if that many people kind of have an idea of the background of the police emergency, what they do. Basically, the unit is a half tactical unit for the city of New York, otherwise known throughout the country like a SWAT type of unit. And the other half of the unit is actually they perform rescues, different type of rescues, anywhere from a building collapse to people struck by trains, bridge jumpers, so on and so forth.
Is there a lot of rescuing to do after you've been struck by a train?
You know, believe it or not, you'd be surprised how many people survive getting struck by a train. And
I would
be,
actually.
The answer to the question is yes. You for some reason, I don't know why. I most of the people who get struck by a train are wind up in the trough, and they're still alive. Not to mention the missing body parts. However, they do survive, and I'm very happy to be a part of that to make that sort of like that second chance in life for them.
Okay, well, tell us an interesting story, because I want to hear something juicy. Go
ahead. Well, I got to tell you a story. I'm going to tell you a little something separate from this rescue thing. Another part of emergency services is the animal rescue. Believe it or not, a lot of people...
I'm an animal rescue guy.
Animal rescue. A lot of people in New York believe that the ASPCA handles all the animal rescue in the
city.
Doesn't
Animal Care and Control do that? They're the ones that went and took that tiger out of that apartment.
No, absolutely, that's not true, and that's the
story
I came here with.
Told me
the tiger story. No,
you got the tiger story.
I got the tiger story.
This is going to be two different people I've had on my show with two different tiger stories.
I've
got the same tiger.
You want me to tell you? You want the truth?
I do.
You
want to
hear from?
I live for the truth.
No, actually, that's the story. I wanted to bring. I thought it was pretty exciting. It was, the area that we covered was Lower Manhattan. We covered everything from the Battery to Central Park South, from the Hudson to the East River. That's the geographical area of the Police Emergency Squad 1 that we covered. And this happened to be up in Harlem, this job, where Bengal tiger
and a caiman.
There you go. Was inside of apartment, and this is an ongoing job. It's going on all day long, and no one notified us. We had the truck that covered that area was Police Emergency Squad 2 was up on this job, and they were handling this job all day. Now, we're on the same frequency, same radio, which was a special operations division, and myself and my partner at the time monitored this ongoing job. And we kept saying, you know, being in the unit that I work in, it's a lot of dangerous work, and I'm not taking away from any of the police officers that work every day out there, but it's sort of the jobs are confirmed, and then they come to the emergency squad. So you know what you get into. They're confirmed jobs. You're not going to arrive to a scene and be unconfirmed. So that being said, the people in your squad, we live for this. We live for tragedy, and unfortunately, it's in your blood.
Robert lives for tragedy.
Yeah, it becomes a part of you. It becomes a part of you, and
tragedy is a part of me. I know that.
You know, and anyway, we're monitoring this job all day long, wishing that we were up on this job. You know, up in Harlem on this tiger job. Never been on a tiger job before. Never been, been a few reptiles, snakes. Probably predominantly, you'll get your, it's basically dogs and cats in the city of New York. You know, your pit bulls and so on and so forth.
A couple of kittens.
You got a sloth or anything?
No. But yeah.
Okay. Well, back to the tiger.
Anyway, so we this is going on all day long, and around 2 in the afternoon, we get a call to respond up to this apartment. And I was with my partner Greg at the time, and we're going, lights and sirens, can't wait to get to this job. What are they going to have us do to this, on this job, And as we're approaching, we're saying to myself, I don't know, this doesn't sound good. I mean, this is going on all day. This something that hasn't been solved, how to, subdue this tiger in the apartment. And we arrive in the scene. What possibly can we do? We have, six emergency guys up there already. Anyway, we get up there, and we interview some of the emergency officers at the scene, and we ask them what took place, and they identified it is true a Bengal tiger inside the apartment.
I had a guy who played for the Bengals on the show last week, by the way. Shout out to Rodney.
I would definitely say it's a big difference. And anyway, they're in the apartment, and I he said, well, it's just this tiger's in the back bedroom. And we said they made entry through a front door. They actually tried to make their way inside the apartment, and sure enough, the tiger comes running at them, and they close the door, and sure enough, you know, there's no way we can tranquilize them through the front door. And they were beside themselves, didn't know really what to do. We were the senior men on the scene, and they said, you know, you have any, you know, ideas of how we're going to take this tiger down? So well, we don't really have much of a choice. We're not going to go through the front door, and I'm not going through the front door. So what else can we
man up,
do?
Will you?
Yeah, man up. Yeah. But I'll get to that part about the manning up, you know. So anyway, we decided, you know, the plan that went into effect was we decided to do some rigging and lower an emergency officer out the window to the bedroom window. And once he would see this tiger in the window, he was going to fire a rifle and tranquilize this tiger, you know. And now, mind you, we're with a tiger, we're in an apartment building, we're uptown in Harlem. These are, you know, guys like myself from the boroughs. The only time we've seen a tiger was in the zoo. That's it, you know. And what do we know? We have no experience in this type of, you know, this type of condition. Anyway, so being the senior man, the smart one out of the deal, we decided to do all the rigging, my partner and myself, and we're going to lower a junior man out the window and down to the apartment. So the plan was, when you get to that apartment, okay, as soon as you see that tiger, you are going to try, you know, shoot the weapon, tranquilize him, and then we'll put the tiger down. So anyway, there was a silence in the room, and who's going? Who's going out the window? It's not me, not me. You know, well, all these big, brave, merchy guys.
See, I don't like heights. Tigers I like.
You know, so one
I'm
of the
a front
guys,
door guy.
one of the merchy guys says, you know what, I'll go. You know, and I said, all right. I said, so, we're gonna, again, lower you down out this window. As soon as you get to that window, you are going to fire that tranquilizer gun, and we're going to pull you up as soon as you fire it. Okay, that's all right, no problem. That's it, Rob. That's what we're going to do. And we lower him down at the window, and sure enough, he straddled the window, left leg on the right side, right leg on the right side of the window. And as he brings the rifle up, the tiger comes running out at the window, breaks the glass with the paw of the tiger, and lets out this big roar. When I tell you, everyone was screaming. You see a bunch of birds, you kept screaming.
Oh, like that God. Hasn't happened before.
No, it hasn't. Very rare. Anyway, they tranquilized the tiger, and eventually we made entry into the apartment, and we brought this tiger out. But to sit in a hallway, okay, where the tiger was, and to grab the fang of the tiger, the whole fang crossed the palm of my hand, and the paw on the tiger was just tremendous. Something that you know you'd never see, you know, any day. And to have a couple of photos of that, that was just something for the.
Rob's told me in private is twice as big as his.
So what about the caiman? Is what I want to know. We heard nothing about this poor crocodilian.
You know what? Believe it or not, they're not really hard to subdue. I mean, basically, that
you
was...
You're up there, Tommy, then.
Nah, that's, you know what, that's not a big deal. We deal with reptiles in the city. People bring them home, and, you know, a couple of weeks in the apartment, they decide to, you know, let them go down to city sewers, and we retrieve those. That's not a big deal.
Yeah,
now,
but this was a big
a tiger
one, though, wasn't it?
Is a big deal.
Wasn't this like a big caiman, though? It was like
yeah,
6 feet long?
Nah, you know, people... Yeah, it was 6 feet, but it was, once you actually duct tape the mouth of the crocodile, it's not a big deal.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm there for that, you know? No problem.
So
you need a duct tape. Give me a call, because I was good in shop.
But that was, you know, it was a pretty exciting job to be on.
All right, well, we're actually going to go to a commercial break shortly, but I want everyone to know that Anthony is also going to tell us one of his stories, because we're playing a little Can You Top This police story-wise, and I believe it had something to do with a penis. I didn't hear the whole story, but he began telling it to me outside, and we were going to have the penis story when we get back.
Hello, this is Britton Bullmarker III. Whether my lovely wife, Muffy, and I are at our palazzo in Venice, our pied de terre in Paris, or our Manhattan penthouse, we listen to the Centani Network. Centanni, Centani. That's Italian for 100 years. In English, it means great radio.
Nessun orma You are listening to the voice of Christopher Macchio, a breathtaking new tenor with an upcoming debut album due to be released this March. An eclectic mix of classical operatic favorites and English classics in the tradition of the legendary Mario Lanza. Mr. Macchio's debut album will astound you with his world-class voice and powerful emotive sincerity. You can find out more about the next name in the long line of magnificent tenors on his website, www.christophermacchio.com, and by looking him up on Google and YouTube. You can also find his fan page on Facebook, where you can learn more about his upcoming schedule of concerts and public appearances. On April 16th, Mr. Macchio will be performing live in concert at the Norwalk Concert Hall, along with internationally acclaimed vocalist Giada Valenti, the hilarious comedian Uncle Floyd Vivino, and hosted by the beloved Johan Labarca of WSTC's Italian House Party. On April 30th, Christopher Macchio will also appear in concert with lovely soprano Christina Luna at the landmark Il Corti restaurant in the heart of New York City's Little Italy. Christopher Macchio, the future of tenor superstars begins now.
Hi, this is Roger Russell from the Garage Mania Show. 60s, 70s garage psych and punk you can't hear anywhere else. Mixed in with a lot of fun.
This is Nurse Cheryl. Listen to the Garage Mania Show on the Chitani Broadcasting Network.
High definition digital audio
broadcasting to the world.
Okay, we're back. And who doesn't love a good penis story? So, Anthony, get up close to the microphone there and show us what you got.
That's a big buildup. It's not a very big penis story. It's just
well,
a little penis
it's not
story.
All. It's not size that counts. Betty, could you confirm that for us? Betty is shaking her
head.
I don't know in which
down,
direction, but okay.
This is a job for an EDP, which is a emotionally disturbed person, and we had six of our biggest, toughest guys, myself and one of our female officers, also tough, go up to the job. And the EDP is sitting on the bed and with a knife in his hand, and very professionally, you know, spoke to him and were able to talk the knife out of his hand. And one of the cops noticed there was something that looked like an appendage on the floor, and as the person was being handcuffed, we noticed there was a huge spot of blood on the bed where he had been sitting. And the cops are going, "What? It looks like a thumb. Check his hands. Did he cut off his thumb? No. He had his thumbs. Maybe a toe. Took off his shoes. Looked at his toes. And there was no. All his toes were there." And
is there a guy who works as toe counter?
The guys, yeah.
Is that anyone's assignment?
Well, we have to assign the toe counter, the junior.
Okay.
And
do you work your way up to fingers?
The female of the group looked at it and said, "Guys, that's a penis."
It's unfortunate that she's the only one who really knows what one looks like, isn't it?
That, and that is the penis story.
That's the extent. So what did this guy, you know... How'd he make out?
He was not reattached.
It
they
was
had
not.
Him find another part of his body to reattach there. I don't recall which part they took to attach there.
Did they do something for this poor character or what?
Yeah.
Did this affect his dating life at all?
I think it affected him right down to his core.
Okay. Well, anyway, so that wasn't bad, you know. I don't know. The Tiger story was pretty good too. I think we're kind of at a draw here. But anyway, okay, you guys have a business together now.
Yes, we do.
Why don't you tell us about that?
It's called Resolution Management and Protection Incorporated. It's a security and investigation company. We're headquartered here in New York City, and we serve the entire state and have nationwide as well as worldwide capabilities through our contacts and loyal network that we have established.
Could you help? You saw the throngs of people trying to get in here at me when you got here.
Yes.
Would you be able to do something for me? What could you do for a celebrity of my stature?
For celebrity of your stature, we offer complete protective services, ranging from bodyguarding to special events for when you host one of your fantastic parties that we have been to and are really out of this world.
For example, if Betty were to try to put her hands around my throat again, would you be able to subdue her?
No, we let Betty
we
go.
We would let that go because
does it come down
the
to
smile
who
on your face tells us that you wanted that to keep going.
Does it come down to who pays you the most while you're protecting me? Is it possible that the other guy goes, "Hey guys, I got a better offer"?
Now we see who gets the biggest laugh out of that. So I think we received the biggest laugh out of that with Betty's hands around your neck.
So what kind of cases do you guys typically work on?
We run the gamut where we were. The specialties are great, but we do general investigations, and we will do specialties. One of the specialties that we do is we do protection of brands. We do insurance, fraud, any type of case where somebody feels that they've been wronged. And they need somebody to look into the matter, matrimonial area, all areas that we cover.
I think you mentioned to me when we were chatting outside that you don't particularly like the divorce cases. Is this correct?
No. Not many people particularly like a divorce case. It's a tough thing to like because it's not usually a very happy outcome on both sides. And it's a tough situation. We try to be conciliatory as much as possible. Sounds odd, and you wind up turning a lot of business away. But we do counsel people and try to get them in the best frame of mind before they make a decision to continue with an investigation. And some people make that ultimate decision to continue with that investigation, and then we undertake it.
Okay, so Rob, you talk to us. We need to hear more from you.
Well, I'll just touch upon a little bit about the security. The security and beside the personal protection that we, personal protection for dignitaries, celebrities here in New York City. We also do armed site security.
So you guys are armed?
Right.
So I'm saying all this stuff to people with weapons, correct?
Yeah, but we're the good guys, Andy. Come on. we're...
Well, you don't know what kind of guy I am. That might not necessarily be a good thing.
That's why we're on.
Right.
But, there's a whole gamut of security we also handle. We also handle integrated solutions, which is your access control, your CCTV. We'll manage any of those widgets that are going on your wall inside of different type of infrastructures.
Right. Now, you do, obviously, security for people. Without naming any names, I know there's some confidentiality involved, but mm-hmm. Can you tell me an example of something where you actually had to step up and protect someone in some kind
sure.
of...
Sure. Well, we'll give you. We just actually finished an assignment a couple of months ago with the Prince and Princess of Saudi Arabia. That's some
my
of our,
favorite
that's our
people.
Clients. Well,
they're party guys.
There you go.
You get those guys to Vegas.
Oh yeah, they're up. They're up all night keeping you going, and a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Really? So where was this? Where were you working with them? In New York, I guess so?
Yes, in New York. We had
Is the cone of silence on?
they were... what hotel? Pierre Hotel they set up? Yeah, Pierre Hotel. We'll throw a little plug for the Pierre Hotel.
But I want to know, did anybody ever... you're guarding somebody and somebody actually tried to do them harm. Well, you had to step in. Has this happened, or have you been fortunate so far?
You know what? We do have that from time to time. It's basically...
give me an example, without saying who.
We won't say who, but you'll have some people on the streets. We won't say what type of element of people, that they'll notice a familiar face or a celebrity, and they'll try to basically try to get an autograph, and it'll turn into something more where you have to actually put a stop to it.
Anybody tries to get my autograph on my team of security, just brutalize them. Betty, you're still working on that, right? You're keeping the people off of me? This is Betty, our engineer here. She pays very little attention to me, which is good. So, okay, you seem chatty there, Anthony. Tell me an example of something you had to do that was exciting on this job. We need excitement for the people.
You want excitement?
I do. I live for it.
I tell you,
I have a very, very
really,
boring life.
We utilize emergency service, present emergency service or former emergency service officers. They have the most extensive background. They're trained in about the 40 different kinds of weapons. They could rappel out of a helicopter at 120 feet, 60 feet. They can swim. They can do they're scuba people. They're the complete package. They're the Navy SEALs of the New York City Police Department. They're also EMTs. And therefore, they really fit best for our personal protection component.
Do you use these people? Is this like when they're retired or on the side or
both,
what?
Both. And they're also EMTs. And what I'm getting to with the EMT part is that it's really what we found the most important component to being a bodyguard is the element of danger that exists from beyond protecting the person from that person that wants to put their hands around their neck or seek an autograph. It's choking on a piece of chicken. It's getting your shoelace caught in an escalator. It's
you could
tripping
protect
and
me
falling
from that?
And
well, that's well, a terrible problem.
We have our guys, our EMTs, and they can assist. A lot of these people travel with their children. The child falls and receives a bad laceration. We're there. We don't have to wait for EMS. We can treat right on the scene.
And like Anthony mentioned, Andrew, it's not just the principal that we protect. It's also the family members. And I got to say, they really do appreciate that. And we provide that sense of security to those individuals. And it's self-rewarding. Is it exciting as being in police emergency in the police department? Absolutely not. We definitely could tell you that it's a different type of work.
Now you might actually have to be protecting that tiger. Is this correct? You might have to be on his detail.
There's a lot of tigers we protect.
Boomer Esiason, maybe? That would be a Bengal.
Hopefully we meet somebody from the Bengals that we can that will call in and ask for some personal protection.
I did a fundraiser for the Boomer Esiason Foundation at one time. That's the closest I've come to tigers.
Well, you know, if they start calling you, then you know who to refer them to, Andy.
What was your name again? Okay. Speaking of which,
I'll
you guys
scribble it on the wall for you.
Can you give us your contact information? How can people get a hold of you guys?
Well, I'll give you our contact information. You can,
Robert is breaking it
I'm
out.
I'm breaking it out. We have.
You could go to our website. Yeah. It's rmprotect.com. RM as in Robert Mary Protect.com.
Or our company's phone number at 646-502-7020.
So if any of you, have any kind of problems and someone like me is lurking around outside your house too often, give these guys a call, because I am a lurker, by the way.
And that is one of the cases that we do investigate is stalkers. Very high success rate in catching those stalkers.
Well, success rate, what would that involve? What would you actually do with the stalker when you catch him?
Turn the information over to the DA's office. And the DA prosecutes. They do.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. Okay. Well, it was great having you guys here. And we're going to go to a commercial message and bring on a couple that I was fortunate enough to be there on their first date. We were going to tell that heartwarming story when we get back.
Hello, this is Mo. And what do you know? You listen to CentaniBroadcasting.com. Do I got to spell it out for you? CentaniBroadcasting Broadcasting.com. You got any other questions, talk to my lawyer.
When somebody loves you, it's no good unless he loves you all the way.
You are listening to the voice of Sal Manzo. If you would like to hire Sal at your next affair, contact him through his website at www.salmanzo.com. With Sal, you need no one else but him. He is a one-man show that takes care of the singing, hosting, and dance music of every era. He is available in the tri-state area and beyond. Once again, the website is www.salmanzo.com.
That's how deep it goes, if it's real.
Looking for a great time that's both fun and educational? Join the New York Spanish Language Meetup. Immerse yourself in both language and culture. Have fun and make tons of amigos. All levels of Spanish from zero to native speakers are welcome. We've got events for all. We are a wonderful community that enjoys Spanish conversation and culture events in Spanish. Being a member is free. We have 5 to 7 events per month that includes informative Spanish conversational events in Manhattan and Brooklyn, beginners, intermediate, and advanced monthly Spanish conversational workshops, private movie events in Spanish with English subtitles. At those events, time is always set aside to have fun while socializing and practicing Spanish. Events that explore Hispanic culture like guided museum tours and walking tours in Spanish. Other activities include parties, theater, dance, concert, food, and more. Remember that you don't have to speak Spanish to enjoy the Spanish language meetup group. Please join us at SpanishConversation.org. Again, it is SpanishConversation.org.
Hi, this is Sheldon Schellenbaum. For years I couldn't get a date, and then someone turned me on to the Centani Network. Now I've got women pounding on my apartment door, and this time they're trying to get in and not trying to escape. Thanks to the Centani Network, I will no longer die a bitter, lonely virgin. Grazie, Centani Network. C-E-N-T-A-N-N-I. It changed my life. Maybe it could change yours.
Okay, we're back. We are back, that's correct. And we are now here with Leah Lagos and with my good friend TJ Walker. And we heard how Robert and his buddy met, and now let's hear about you guys. How'd you two meet?
Well, the second night we met, you were right there. We were at a Halloween party.
I thought that was your first... Oh, that was the first
date. That was our first date.
First date, okay.
And... we were at a Halloween exhibition at the China
Purgatorio.
Club.
Purgatorio. It was not the China Club for 2 weeks.
That's right.
It was Purgatorio.
It was a lot of fun.
So you guys met. Did you meet in heaven, hell, or purgatory? What was it?
Well, outside.
Outside. So that was hell then.
And all I remember is meeting Andy and hearing him, seeing a haunting ghost chase him into a room and hearing him scream and looking at TJ and saying, "I'm not going in there."
Well... fortunately, you learned that a lot of exciting things happen in that little room. But anyway, so that's how you guys met now. This is basically, we've had TJ on the show already. He will be chatting with us. But this is basically about Leah. We want to hear from her. So explain your credentials to our audience, Leah. What are you exactly?
Sure. I'm a doctor of clinical psychology. I specialize in two areas, one which is sports psychology, working with athletes, anyone from high school level to professional teams, and also in providing biofeedback services to help athletes as well as children reduce anxiety so they can perform at their best in health and life.
Okay, now biofeedback is a term we all hear about. Explain that more to me. What is biofeedback, and what do you do with that to help people out?
You know, it sounds like almost a scary term, and it has such great and positive effects. There's different modalities of biofeedback, but what I do is a type of breath retraining. It's called heart rate variability biofeedback, and we train breathing, which is intended to control heart rate and blood pressure. And what it does is it helps reduce anxiety, restore balance in the body, and has specific benefits. I have some research published. It took 15 strokes off a competitive golfer's game, if you can believe that.
Really?
Yes. And it also is helpful for reducing migraines, treating chronic pain, reducing anxiety.
So it reduces strokes, basically.
Reduces stress / strokes.
Yes. Okay. Well, so you seem to deal a lot with athletes. What made you choose that career choice? Were you an athlete yourself?
I was. And for me, I'm a tall woman, and at 13 years old, athletics was such a great way to obtain confidence and skills that I use for the rest of my life that I knew I wanted to go into something involving sports, but combined with that need to help people. So I knew at a very early age that I wanted to be in the field of sports psychology.
Okay, you know, speaking of golf, which I know you do a lot of work with, I saw a segment you did about Tiger Woods. Why do you feel that returning to golf is so important to him? Because you did mention that in the segment. That was kind of the crux of it.
that was the core statement, because people were skeptical of his decision based upon his actions prior to it, not knowing if he would have the skill. But from a mental health perspective, Andy, I see it as the best thing he could have possibly done. When you take a professional athlete away from what they love, which is sports, they lose their identity. So for that reason alone, I think it was great for Tiger's health to have his identity back and be doing what he loves and is naturally good at.
That actually makes a lot of sense, and we're going to segue, since we were talking about Tiger Woods, let's talk about Viagra, because I also saw a segment that you did about the relationship between Viagra and athletic performance. We don't really hear about that too often. Can you explain that to us?
Well, there's a lot of unrest, specifically in the baseball world, because of steroids, and what's coming out is that a lot of baseball players and other types of athletes are using Viagra, and what researchers have found in the last year is that Viagra helps do two things. One, it increases endurance and stamina in many ways. And two, it helps to absorb steroids into the system faster. And for that reason, the Vancouver Olympics banned it. They said to the athletes, if we find that you've been taking Viagra, we will revoke your medals. So now the other larger...
If we find out you're taking Viagra, we're going to come down on you hard.
Yes.
I had to work that in. It just came to me.
And so other large sports organizations are kind of taken back and trying to figure out exactly what to do with the situation, but looking closely at Viagra use.
Okay. And I'm trying to work in some of this interesting stuff you've done. I know you had a great deal of media experience before you got to me. I mean, this is probably kind of the pinnacle, but I know you did something with, who was that, ESPN or something, some fly-by-night organization. You produced a segment for them or something,
yeah,
right?
You know, it was actually on Inside the PGA Tour, which is aired on ESPN. It's a few years ago, and I helped create a golf psychology segment to illustrate the benefits of sports psychology for golfers.
Okay. Oh, by the way, since we're talking golf, I'm not much of a golf guy, I have to tell you. I never really got it. But have you ever met Anne Liguori?
Anne Liguori, I've not met in person.
Oh, okay. She's just got a really sexy voice. I just wanted to see if you knew anything about
it. You wanted her mental evaluation?
I want whatever I can get. I'm a lonely guy, and she's got a good voice. And, you know, I'm a radio person, so what can I say? Anyway, well, she's a sports caster. Well, not caster, but covers sports for WFAN. Speaking of which. You've also appeared on FAN, a channel that I listen to a lot. Who interviewed you there?
I had a lovely chat for about an hour with Bob Saltaire a few weeks ago, Sunday morning broadcast.
I do not know Bob Saltaire, and I listen to this station a lot. When he's like a morning guy?
He's a morning guy, weekends.
See, that's the problem. I never knew that 7 o'clock came twice in a day.
And it was Sunday morning, 7 o'clock, and the time had changed.
One of them is light and one of them is dark, right? The 7 o'clocks?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. That's where I get confused, because I'm just used to the dark 7 o'clock. Okay. So it was again about golf primarily?
Well, we actually talked a lot about different hot and current sports topics from a mental perspective and sports psychology perspective. So we talked about everything from steroids in Major League Baseball to Tiger Woods to some of my work evaluating draft prospects for the New York Giants and Chicago Bears.
It's so great how she segues from one of my questions into the next. This is makes my life easy. Well, I'm a very big Giants fan. I actually have not missed a Giants game since 1969, TV and radio. I'm not sitting there in the cold. But, and I actually did an event with a bunch of Giants players and their wives back in December.
Interesting.
Yeah, actually, Fred Robbins, I don't know if you've met him. His wife, Tia, has an organization called Off the Market Events for couples networking. And she asked me to put together an event for her, and we did it at Taj, and it was Mario Manningham, Aaron Ross and his wife, Sonia
Fantastic.
Richards, and Kevin Booth, Guy Wimper. I'd mentioned Lawrence Tynes, I think, already. I'm done name-dropping now, but, yeah, it was a bunch of guys, so that was interesting. So I'm a big Giant fan. So
big Giant fan.
What do you do with the Giants exactly? I know you work with them. Well, evaluate the draft picks, I think.
Yes, right? Once a year I go to the NFL Combines in Indianapolis, and I'm there for 4 to 5 days. And there's a team of us, there's about 3 to 5 of us who've been working with the Giants for several years, and conduct mental evaluations on the players. It has become such a big and important part of the evaluation process. Sure, athletic skill is not secondary. It's the first thing they look at. But more and more, coaches are very concerned with risk. Is this player going to bring risk to my team? Because it can cost them millions of dollars.
I would think ever even more so. That's a good question. Is there an upswing in your business? Because there's a huge concern now with the character of football players. Ben Roethlisberger, again, yes, brought that into the spotlight a lot. Are you here getting more calls because of this, or what?
Well, they're certainly weighting these evaluations quite heavily. They're important. The general manager looks over these, not just in a second. They give this a lot of consideration, and there's more and more teams inquiring about these services.
Now, you're probably busy now, right? Because the draft just happened.
Yes.
So when did you do your evaluations? Obviously, you're not waiting until the draft. Like, how far in advance is
that? The last weekend of February is the combines. And so we conduct the evaluations for 3 days at the combines. And the combines is interesting. They have 1 day for the players to have medical evaluations, 1 day for psychological evaluations, and then the rest is performance-oriented. But we'll have spillover, so it's really like 3 days of 12 to 14-hour days of evaluating players.
So how many players do you actually evaluate? Like, let's take a given team, the Giants. Mm-hmm. How many players would you say you evaluate for them in total?
A total of a little over 100.
A little over 100.
And these take about a 40-minute interview and then an hour of testing.
What type of testing is it? What do you actually have them do?
Well, some of that is confidential and proprietary to the team.
Oh, okay.
But I can tell you is that it's geared to really understand how this player makes choices, how they maintain relationships, and what they do in their life that's risky, that could cost the team money.
Now, I know you work with the Bears also, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you work with more than one team at the same time? Or is there any kind of competitive thing going on with that?
Right now, we're focusing on the Giants. In the past,
as well you should.
And in the past, sometimes it was more than one team. There is a sense of proprietary information for each team. So although I may be working for more than one team, I'll be using different instruments because that's what the team has asked for. Sometimes the team will ask a different question than another team. Maybe one team just wants to focus on what's the risk this player brings, and another says, how does this player make decisions? That's what I want to know.
Now, do they look for certain attributes based on certain positions? Are they looking for certain things from a lineman that might be different than a receiver?
Generally, they are looking for characteristics that are the same amongst players, ones, again, that are related to risk and things that are going to be negatives in terms of health and performance.
So you do have to sometimes tell them this guy isn't a good choice, right?
Yes, and it's actually, Andy, a really hard thing to do because it's one of my most inspirational times of the year. I have a lot of respect for these players, where they come from, how hard they try, and what they've gone through to be in the seat of me interviewing them. So it's difficult, but that's my job, to be objective and to report exactly what I see.
So, okay, that's interesting. Now, I know you talk a lot about stress and how that affects athletic performance.
Yes.
What percentage of performance would you say is physical, and what percentage would you say is mental?
Well, there's a famous quote, particularly about golf, that says golf is 10% physical and 90% mental. I think it varies by sport to some degree. But when you get up to the professional level, the differentiation is in skill level is so much a mental state because they've all been training for many, many years, all have similar diet regimens and training regimens, that what they're thinking and what they're doing off the field in their spare time makes a difference.
Okay, wasn't it Yogi Berra, though, who said like 90% of performance is 100% mental or something like that?
That's the source of the quote, exactly. Yes. It's 90% mental and 10% related to physical skill.
Okay, we're going to go for a brief commercial message, mm-hmm. And when we come back, we're going to hear more from Leah and about TJ's new book.
It's great. You get interviewed, you get... Hey, Johnny, what do you got on the TV? It better not be the Jersey Shore.
Nana, I was just changing the channel with Hal.
Don't you lie to me. Those are Jersey Shore kids are no good. The boys are just want to get drunk and make a sex, and the girls are even worse.
I know, Nana. I was just... Ow.
If you know, why you watching the show? Monkey see, monkey do. If I catch you acting like those monkeys, you're going to get such a beating.
Ow, put the wooden spoon away.
Now be a good boy and tell everybody, including Snooki's grandmother, where she can get her own wooden spoon.
Ernie Rossi, purveyor of wooden spoons and other things Italian. Italian music, CDs, DVDs, cooking utensils, T-shirts, hats, posters, everything Italian, all conveniently located in the heart of Manhattan's Little Italy, 193 Grand Street. Tell him Johnny Mandolin sent you.
This is Sheldon Schellenbaum. I'm broadcasting in high-definition digital audio to the world on Centani. If you would like to have your product or service advertised on the Centani Broadcasting Network and heard by their vast listening audience, or perhaps you want to produce your own radio show, please contact them for rates and information. Go to www.centanibroadcasting.com and send them an email. That's CENTANIBroadcasting.com. High definition digital audio broadcasting to the world.
Okay, we're back. And since we're lucky enough to have TJ here with us, who, by the way, is working with Leah feverishly throughout her interview, because TJ...
No, she doesn't need any work. I'm just here enjoying the view and the conversation.
TJ is an expert in public speaking. Is this correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you have a new book out, and I believe I have some literature on it here. It is called How to Give a Pretty Good Presentation, A Speaking Survival Guide for the Rest of Us. So... tell us about this.
Well, my last book was How to Give a Foolproof Presentation, How to Give a Great Speech, and there's so many books about how to get a standing ovation and how to wow the audience. And my publisher at Wiley, the largest business book publisher in the world, came to me and said, you know what, TJ, we have a theory, and that is that most people don't want to give a standing ovation presentation. Most people just want to give a presentation that's good enough to get by. They don't have aspirations to be the next Anthony Robbins or Bill Clinton. So you know what? You got a great point. So this is a book for people. Hey, if you're listening now, you think, I don't like giving speeches. I don't like giving presentations. This book is for you, because I'm going to show you easy shortcuts to get by and do a pretty good job. And we even have chapters on what do you do if you only have 2 days before a speech? What do you do if it's the night before? What do you do if you only have 30 minutes before you give a speech? Betty's saying, take a drink. The problem with taking a drink is alcohol affects most people's memory, and you'll forget what you're going to say, plus you're more likely to break out in a sweat. Plus, if you do give a presentation and you're in front of more than a handful of people, people will come up to you afterwards and shake your hand. And if they smell alcohol in your breath, that's the only time they ever meet you, that can be real trouble. So I don't actually recommend drinking alcohol. What I do recommend is that you videotape yourself. You can use a webcam that's right on your laptop there, Andy. You can use a cell phone. But watch yourself on video and get to the point where you can't... If you can get to the point where you can stand yourself and you're no longer saying, I can't stand myself... you're going to be much less nervous.
Okay, well, I've got to stop drinking, and I have to be able to stand myself. That's
you
kind
can
of,
keep drinking.
Of a contradiction.
You can keep drinking, just don't drink right before you're about to give the speech.
Okay, well, if I'm going to be able to stand myself, I'm going to have to increase my drinking. So we'll work it out. We'll come up with a schedule. Okay, well, that's good. Well, I want to get back to Leah a little bit here.
And
because
I apologize for interrupting, but just for people who want to take a look at the book or to get a chapter, go to tjwalker.com. The book is available for pre-order at amazon.com, but they can also go to tjwalker.com. That's three W's dot tjwalker.com.
Will that book be available at the thing you're doing with me in May, by the way?
No, the book comes out in July, but the book T.J. Walker's Secret to Foolproof Presentations will be available at your event, so we look forward to seeing you there. And for people who want more information about Leah, they can go to drlealagos.com. That's three W's dot drlealagos.com.
Okay. Well, I just want to mention that I now run an entrepreneurs group with 3,500 members. For any entrepreneurs in the audience in the New York area, feel free to join because TJ will be doing a presentation for us May 19th. So come down, buy a copy of his book, pick up some pointers, do some drinking. I don't know how that's going to work together based on this, but okay. Well, anyway, so Leah, back to you. Now, you've done a lot of work with golfers, as we've discussed. So what are the mental challenges specific to that sport? Because you also work with football players. Like, yes. Would you say, how does that differ?
Well, the common thread amongst a lot of athletes is stress and anxiety. And so the stress and anxiety of a football player may be very different than the stress and anxiety of a golfer. For instance, I have worked with several golfers on the PGA Tour. And a common anxiety producer is to look up at the board with names and scores and start calculating how many strokes you need to have to get to a certain level or how many strokes it would take you to be dropped off the board. And these types of thoughts obviously aren't helpful for keeping the muscles loose, keeping the mind focused, keeping the mood high. So we work a lot on how to control thoughts while on the golf course.
Okay, and what about football? What's your main challenges there?
With football, a lot of the challenge is, one, I've heard several times how football players will say they assess their competitors when they go out there. That guy looks stronger than I do, has more muscles. I think he might be able to run faster. So keeping the mind in a mindset that's not going to produce anxiety symptoms in the body, teaching them how to have thoughts that are going to actually enhance their performance, keep their muscles loose. And another one is off-field behaviors, particularly when you're amongst a team of friends and colleagues and peers, making decisions together as a team, and this is something I've done in my work with teams, to help them set goals for off-field team behavior.
Yes, because golf is kind of a solitary thing in general, yes. And football is a team sport, so I guess are there certain personalities that lend themselves to either, or do you see people in the wrong sport psychologically ever? See somebody who seems like they should be a lone wolf golfer when they're playing team football and not getting along with the other guys?
Well, it's kind of like if you know you're really good at math, you take more algebra and geometry than writing. And so in sports, these players tend to know what they fit into more so than not. However, in football, it tends to attract a different personality than in golf. Sensation seeking, people that like lots of different stimuli and being in the middle of things. And these are all good components for wanting to be on a field and playing with a lot of vigor and intensity. Those are traits, however, that differ from a golfer.
Now, you've also worked with business executives. How does that differ?
A lot of business executives, one, have anxiety-related issues. Same sort of performance challenges just in the business setting. So we talk a lot about how to regulate stress to improve performance, improve relationships, and become more productive in the amount of time you have available.
Now, do you tend to work, like, what period of time do you tend to work with someone for generally?
Well, it depends on if we're doing a workshop, which could just be a weekend. Or for biofeedback, it's a 10-session training. So they meet with me once a week for 10 weeks, and they gain the skills and oftentimes continue working with me after that. And then if it's just a consultative relationship, say you came to me, Andy, and said, Leah, something's going on my putting on the golf course. I do so well on everything else, and I get to the green, and my mind goes elsewhere, and I have seven putts instead of three. Can you help me? So that would be more consultative and depending on the needs of the client.
Okay. What about something like poker players? Would you be able to do anything for them?
Well, what's your particular question?
Oh, I don't know. Let's say I got three of a kind. No, I was thinking, you know, I got four flush cards, but I've also got a pair.
And is it making always... you nervous? Is it destroying your ability to think and concentrate?
Because sometimes I go into the casinos in the bathroom, yes. And it says, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. So I call them up. I said, look, I got four flush cards. I've also got a pair of sixes. What do I do? They didn't have an answer for me. Anyway, okay, we are running out of time. It was great seeing you guys.
Thanks,
give your
Andy.
Contact info again, Leah.
Yes, www.drlealagos.com. Also, if you want to check me out on YouTube to see me on Fox Sports and ESPN and other media stations, youtube.com/drlealagos.
And that's LEAHLAGOS.
Okay,
thanks, DJ.
It was great seeing you guys. Okay, we are done for today. I want to thank our friends, the two detectives that we had with us, Robert Mercici and Anthony as well. Ooh, what was that from? Okay, well, that was exciting. I'm going to have some vital feedback done on me after that by Leah. So it was great seeing Leah and TJ. We will be back next week, but for now, we are gone.
You want to know which teacher your kids are most likely to choose as a role model this year in school? I'm Donny Osmon, and it's the person who teaches them about music. Not sports, or English, or history. Music. Are you surprised? Well, you shouldn't be, because music teachers have always played an important role in the lives of their students. They help our kids tap into their natural creativity. They teach them about cooperation and self-discipline. It's a bonus that when kids have learned about scales and clefs, they find math and English concepts easier to grasp. That's because of how music education expands a young person's spatial IQ. Reading poetry or solving an equation is easier if kids know their sharps and flats, and that's a fact. Help your kids get to know their music teacher at school. Get them involved in music this year.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.
You are listening to the Centani Broadcasting Network, CENTANNI Broadcasting.com. In high definition digital stereo.
Hi, this is Dolores from Vinny's Dino. We love listening to Mark Shoemaker and Mike the Announcer on IYF Radio. Those guys say it like it is.
Hey, waitress, coffee.
Hey, I'm talking here. What's the matter? Didn't your mother feed ya? So tune in to IYF Radio on the Centani Broadcasting Network.
Coffee, coffee.
Be quiet, I'll put a fork in your eye. So listen to Mark and Mike at IYF Radio on the Centani Broadcasting Network.
Hi, I'm Janice Ian. Do you remember how excited you were at the start of summer?